On November 16th and 17th, otherwise known as this weekend, the two-time Grammy Award-winning Albany Symphony will present a dazzling program at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall in Troy, New York. The concerts will include Smetana's Moldau, Joan Tower's Cello Concerto, A New Day, and Dvorak's Symphony No. 9 from the New World. To tell us more, we welcome our dear friend and music director maestro, David Alan Miller. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Joe. I'm so happy to see you, and thank you for all of your great work keeping us informed and keeping us thinking. We really all appreciate it, all of us, passionate WAMC listeners.
And right back to you, I cannot think of a time where perhaps a concert is more necessary than to sort of cleanse our souls and brains of whatever detritus may be in there, to go and to have a moment at the beautiful Troy Savings Bank Music Hall to hear this incredible orchestra.
Well, it is life-affirming, and I was thinking about it. It really is. It's funny. My sister texted me a couple of days after the election because, you know, it's the New World Symphony, and the concerto is called A New Day, and my sister texted something like, so did you think the outcome of the election was going to be different? And that's why you... But in fact, we programmed this concert, you know, practically 2 years ago. It was really just about the optimism of the American spirit, which I hope has not entirely disappeared, and certainly we're feeling it as proud York Staters here in the great state of New York.
But this helps us. It helps us regardless. I mean, either way,
this is absolutely apolitical, musically and artistically apolitical. This is just the most beautiful, loosely American themed program and New World themed program. You know, Joan Tower's piece is a very personal, nostalgic piece. It's her new cello concerto, and it was written. She wrote it while her life partner Jeff was dying in his mid-90s. A couple of years ago, it was written in 2021, and it's called A New Day. And as she explained it to me last night, actually, it was about like when you wake up in the morning, you're so happy that you get another day on the planet. Right. So it's kind of nostalgic, but it's also not terribly programmatic. It's just great music. And similarly with the New World Symphony, it's a postcard from the New World where Antonín Dvořák found himself in 1892. So it's a beautiful, affirmative, gorgeous, gorgeous concert, also with an opening piece by Dvořák's spiritual father or grandfather, Bendrik Smetana, the father of Czech music. So father and son, essentially.
So let's take a step back to 2 years ago as you're programming this, of how it is the magic bullet to know that these pieces will work well together.
Yeah, it was really the word new. It was that I encountered Joan's. I heard a recording. I think the piece was premiered in Colorado a few summers ago, and I heard a recording of that performance. And I'm a big fan of Joan's, and Joan, you know, is basically one of our most resident composers. She's taught it.
One of the greatest people I've ever met.
Incredible
in my life.
Human
Just
being.
Amazing.
And so
human.
Much spirit and so much humor. We laughed last night for about an hour together about various aspects of the piece in the world. I just love her, and she's at Bard College. She's of course coming up. You had asked me just before we started, you know, this isn't a premiere?
I think I wrongly in the billboard intimated that it was a premiere.
Yeah, well,
and even though that word was not on the sheet that I was reading that I had written. I think I said those words.
But what's wonderful about that is that it's not a premiere. It's the fourth or fifth or sixth performance around the world. But as she said last night, it's a really meaningful performance for her because she thinks of this as this is the first time in her neighborhood. And it's, you know, the Albany Symphony, which is an orchestra she's very close to. And she's bringing all of her friends up from Red Hook, where she lives. And so it's very much a very special performance for her. So, and it's a very special performance for us because it's such a deeply personal, heartfelt piece of hers, and we've sort of tracked her life and work through her evolution.
Let me ask you.
So I'm sorry. So I was just going to say, so
yes.
It was the word new. It was the piece was called A New Day, and of course that got me thinking, well, we haven't done the New World Symphony for a long time, and you know the idea of of celebrating the new was beautiful. And then once I had Dvorak, I thought, well, it's lovely to pair Dvorak around Joan with Smetana, his spiritual father, this great father of Czech music. So these two great Czech pieces, but one Czech symphony about a Czech person coming to America, living at 327 East 17th Street for 3 years, and trying to understand and give us a blueprint for how American music might evolve. So a really beautiful American program, even though only one of the pieces is by a technically by an American.
Well, and you use this term earlier, and I think it's apropos for what we've been discussing over the past several years, which is loosely American, of what that means.
Right. And this piece, the New World Symphony, I come back to it over and over again. I find so many riches in it because it really is this wonderful Czech man showing up on a boat with two of his six children and his wife in 1892, because he's been invited to be the director of the National Conservatory of Music, and he's supposed to come here and tell American composers how to find their own unique voices. Kind of a naive idea, because a lot of the existing American composers at the time were probably a little affronted by that, thinking they'd already solved that problem. But he really took a close look at America as he understood it. He was fascinated by the songs of Black Americans that were sung to him by his student Harry Burleigh at the conservatory. He went and saw Buffalo Bill's Wild West show and saw the indigenous Americans, the Indians, dance. So he thought he was an expert on Indian music. And he went down and looked at the trains at the train depot at Grand Central, what became Grand Central Station. And he really gained a foreigner's appreciation for America and then kind of put it all in this postcard symphony from, it's technically called From the New World. So it's kind of a message from the New World about what an incredible place America was and about how America might evolve its musical voices. He got it all kind of not quite right, but the piece is so beautiful. It's Czech and it's American, and it's got these themes that don't sound like Dvorak, that sound like his idea of what indigenous music might have sounded like, and spirituals and such, all original. But it's this deeply felt piece by this beautiful, beautiful composer.
And then when you say spiritual, the spiritual father of looking at Moldau, of how that fits in.
Yeah, well, Dvorak actually was a very obscure composer until he was kind of discovered kind of in early middle age by Johannes Brahms. And then in England, he became a big culture figure. But for many years, he was an absolutely impoverished, you know, small-time Czech musician. He played viola in the opera orchestra in Prague.
And artist? Say it ain't so.
Yeah, he's the first struggling artist. Yeah, not exactly the first. But he was in the viola section, and Smetana, the great father of Czech music, was the conductor. So he played under Smetana for 5 years, and Smetana premiered some of his pieces. And Smetana was this wonderful folk-influenced Czech composer, like Dvorak. In fact, later on, they sort of became a little competitive with each other. And he wrote this monumental set of six-tone poems, My Country, Ma Vlast. And the second of the tone poems is this very famous piece, The Moldau, about the river that runs through the Czech Republic to Prague. And it's just this gorgeous evocation of a river. And of course, we're doing a lot of water music coming up in the summer. So it's kind of a little window into that as well. But it's this beautiful Czech idea of a really positive approach to nationalism, to a national voice, to forging a national voice, which Smetana and Dvorak were absolutely at the front of. And then Dvorak comes here and tries to help us figure out how to forge our own American national voice.
So when you put it, this is a gorgeous program. You're going to be doing it twice. You'll do it on Saturday night, and then we'll do it on Sunday afternoon at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. There's no place better to do
it. We won't
show.
Be just doing it twice. We'll be doing it in the greatest acoustic in the world. We've done the New World Symphony many times. I think we've always done it probably at the Palace Theater, which is a beautiful space, but a big, not quite as acoustically sumptuous space.
Eats it up a little bit more.
Doing it in the music hall is just, every time you say it's in the music hall, I'm like, it's in the music hall? That's so fantastic. To hear music in the music hall, any music, is a gift, but to hear this glorious romantic music there is something.
But it's like, just the whole room shudders when you're at your top floor.
I always say, I have the best seat, of course, because I'm standing right in the middle of it, but you can feel the wind in your hair when you're there. It's just the power, the sheer whoosh of the music is so immediate and so direct and so rich. It's like being inside a cello. It's just the most glorious thing. You just feel all the resonance.
When you look at this sort of in the larger scheme of your season as a whole. You talked about water coming down the pike here further on in the
flowing
season.
Flowing through the season, yes.
That's right. But those are all things that you think through as well.
Yes, we do. We don't really have a strong through theme like the season is about X.
Right.
But it certainly is part of this ongoing celebration of the bicentennial of the Erie Canal, which we're coming back to this summer with big free outdoor live concerts across the state as we did back in 2017.
Yeah.
And lots of our programming is involved with water and nature. And these are great examples of that. These are real nature-themed pieces, particularly the Dvorak and the Smetana.
You enjoy going out on the road.
I do. I do. I love it. And I was, as you probably know, I was out in Seneca Falls a couple of weeks ago. We were doing these little pop-up concerts
in
Waterloo and at the Montezuma Wildlife Refuge. And every time I go out, I discover new wonders of New York State. And I was sort of at the top of the Finger Lakes. And I must admit that since we've been plying the canal, I haven't really gotten to the southern tier or down into the Finger Lakes. So that's my next trip. I want to go down and explore those places. So lots of exciting things to see.
What is it about nature that is such a natural place for music to be performed and experienced by an audience?
Wow, that's a very deep question there, Joe. I'm not sure I know the answer, but I think that what I love about our going out on the road, around the region, through the region. You know, we've had this series of programs we've been doing for the last 20 years called Capital Heritage Commission Series. The idea is that, you know, we can commission a piece about the Adirondack Park or about the first, as we did two weekends ago, the first Chinese merchant to sell tea along the Erie Canal. We can do that because we work so much with living composers. When you're just playing Beethoven and Brahms, you can't do that because they won't write those pieces for you.
Right.
But we're really about celebrating our own time and our own place. And so as the orchestra of the capital of New York State, we really feel that a big part of our mission and our role is to amplify the beauty and the special aspects of New York. And so that it's really more about that with us. But certainly composers have always turned to nature and to evocations of nature, no one more so than Dvorak. And it's just a part of the beauty of what music can do. It can evoke so many things in such powerful ways.
Congratulations on your son's engagement.
Oh, that's so thrilling. I had sent a little note to her parents. Her parents live in Beijing and don't speak English. And unfortunately, I was saying all these wonderful things about Meng Chao, their daughter, and she had to translate it for me. And I just as I was driving over, got this long text back from them that she also had to translate about how delighted. It was very touching. My oldest son, Elias, who's a conductor, just got engaged on Sunday.
And he lives in Boston.
He actually doesn't live in Boston. He's become the assistant conductor of the Columbus Symphony in
Columbus,
Ohio.
Oh, that's exciting.
And they're living there and commuting back to Boston a fair amount. But he's been conducting madly, children's concerts, family concerts, the Halloween concert, the holiday concert.
Well, you know that route, don't you?
I do. He's really learning all the aspects one needs to know.
Well, that's very exciting.
It is.
Congratulations
it was
to
really
you
quite
and
a,
the family. That's very
quite
exciting.
A bit of joy at the end of a challenging week.
Absolutely. If it can end on a good note, that's fine.
Yeah.
So what's next? We have all kinds of good holiday stuff to look forward to as well.
We do. We have our beautiful Magic of Christmas coming up in a few short weeks, the very first weekend in December. And then we have a gorgeous, mainly Baroque classical holiday program with a world premiere guitar concerto with the greatest young guitarist in the world, Bok Yung-byun, written by Nicky Sohn on that concert, but surrounded by Bach and Mozart and Vivaldi and wonderful things. It's right before the holidays. So gorgeous things coming up, and then a whole bunch of great programming in the spring. But I just have to say that I didn't really say much about Joan Tower's piece, but it is a gorgeous, heartfelt piece. And Raman Ramakrishnan, who's her colleague, cello professor at Bard, is our soloist. I haven't worked with him, but I hear he's an amazing artist, great chamber musician as well. So that's going to be a real treat.
Do you know what led her to write a solo for cello?
Yes, she said, she's funny about it. She said she'd written a cello concerto many years ago, and she didn't think it was very good. And so she thought it was time to write another one. And I'm sure, you know, because it was for Jeff, her partner of 48 years, the cello's such a soulful, loving instrument. I'm sure she gravitated to it for that reason as well.
And again, just one of the great composers, and to get to experience that will be very special.
And really one of our, you know, somebody who belongs to us in a way. We feel very connected to her, and she's been very wonderful to us and teaching just down the road.
I was going to ask you this question before, and we got sidetracked. But when you have a backstory like that of this particular piece, how do you convey that to the audience, or does it not have to be conveyed?
Well, it's funny. I called her last night really with that question, like, you know, what is the meaning of the piece? And as is always the case with her, she sort of laughed and she said, well, I wrote it when Jeff was dying. And that's the context. I mean, it's not like, and here the cello is the voice of Jeff and I'm this and
sure.
This is that and this is when we went to the market. And it's really just a sort of feeling, an aesthetic feeling. The piece is pure music. It's extremely beautiful and exciting, and as always with her music, rhythmically vibrant. But it's just that's the context, and I think because she doesn't want to talk more about it because she wants everyone to take away their own response, their own story, their own impressions. So it's abstract music, but like the greatest abstract music, it's beautifully open-ended abstract music, and very, very exciting and heartfelt and technically brilliant for the cellist. So just a gorgeous, gorgeous piece.
Two amazing concerts. They are going to be performed the 16th and 17th. You'll be doing it twice. So Moldau, Joan Towers, Cello Concerto, A New Day, and Dvorak Symphony No. 9 from The New World. We look at this at Saturday, November 16th at 7:30, Sunday, November 17th, 16th at 7:30, 17th at 3 o'clock, and you can find out more at albanysymphony.com.
And there's always a little talk on the stage an hour before if you want to get some more insight. I'll be talking to Joan and about the program.
For both shows?
Both shows, yeah. 2 o'clock on Sunday, 6:30 on Saturday.
Wonderful stuff. Again, you can find out more information at albanysymphony.com, albanysymphony.com. David Alan Miller, it's always a delight to speak to you. I thank you so much for being with us, for doing the beautiful work that you do, and for bringing us the incredible craftsmanship and artistic presence that you are in this region.
Back at you, Joe. Same to you. All those things I feel about you deeply.
Thank you very much. We will return and have more show. We're going to talk in the worst segue ever. Coming up next, Stench. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.